to Europe now, and our correspondent in Lyon is Seamus Kearney. Hello, Seamus, how are you?
Yes, hello, Catherine. As good as can be expected on lockdown, but I suppose it's the same for so many people around the world at the moment.
I'm trying to think how much has changed in 2 weeks since we would have last spoken. Europe, of course, was very much the epicentre. Now that is moving more towards the United States, but still dreadful tolls in several European countries. Where shall we begin today?
Well, just to say, you know, as you say, incredibly sad to see how things have worsened so quickly. You know, the awful death tolls that already seemed so bad just 2 weeks ago, as you say, when we last spoke, those death tolls soaring still in Europe, and these horrible scenes in hospitals, emergency rooms overrun, the urgent need for ventilators, the urgent need for protective items like masks, and lockdowns now really a reality for so many people, including for you there in New Zealand. But as I say, here in Europe, Italy, Spain and France remaining the worst affected here, the death tolls and numbers up there in terms of hospitalizations as well. And the talk about lockdowns being extended and toughened in those countries and as well. And just to look at some of the latest figures, just absolutely heartbreaking, incredible. Italy, the latest figures given there in terms of the number of people who have died, 10,779 at last count. That's 756 more in the past 24 hours. Perhaps a little bit of good news, that's down for a second consecutive day. I'm not sure we can say that's good news. 919 2 days ago, 889 per day. Now 756 in the past 24 hours, but you know, just under 98,000 cases there. Just looking at Spain, 6,618 people have died there, almost 79,000 cases. And I should say also that Italy, that's now more than a third of the global death toll there, just for Italy alone. France, the third country most affected, 2,606 deaths. And then the UK, which was very slow to bring in those lockdown measures we see now, the death toll there now 1,228, about 19,500 cases. And as I say, extensions now being looked at in terms of the lockdowns. We have a lot more police patrols happening in these countries. Italy, for example, the government there now considering an extension of the lockdown from April the 3rd. That's when it was due to run out, expected to be extended for a further 2 weeks. France, that decision has already been made. The lockdown, very strict now, extended until April the 15th. And in Spain, for example, where they've already been in lockdown for 3 weeks, we're looking at a further 2 weeks as well. The government meeting today to just redefine the rules and the details there. But it looks like they're going to be calling for all non-essential workers now to stay at home as well.
Let's look at some of the divisions that are appearing in political leadership, particularly EU leadership. What's happening?
Well, I've never seen anything like it. We've really seen some really open hostility. We have these differences now really out in the open among EU countries. And we've had these furious exchanges after a summit that was held on Thursday. This was by video conference on Thursday. And this was supposed to be a time when the European Union would come together, where they would agree on some of the financial help, pooling of resources, unity many were hoping for in terms of, you know, looking after those countries worst affected. And as I say, we really have big divisions now coming out into the open about how that's going to look. We know that, for example, the European Central Bank, they announced this 750 billion euro emergency package. And we were looking at the European Commission to come together to look at some kind of debt instrument. This would be where the leaders were called on for these further economic measures. And this is really like we're talking about a pooling of mutual debt. And they were using the term corona bonds. In the past, we called these euro bonds. These were always rejected in the past, even in the previous financial crisis. This would be for fragile economies like Italy and Spain, still recovering from austerity measures imposed for bailouts during the financial crisis 10 years ago. These countries who really would find it difficult to raise money on the capital markets to pay for all of the economic damage we're seeing. So these joint so-called corona bonds, euro bonds, they would be for solidarity, the richer countries sharing the burden, a pooling of the risk, if you like, putting their reputations behind the behind those bonds to make them more attractive to investors, and thus, it goes, affordable in terms of interest rates for those fragile economies. So that sounds good. A lot of people were in behind that. Some nine countries signed a letter, including France, calling on the European Commission to consider this. But the answer came back, there was no agreement. We had Germany, the Netherlands and Austria coming out against this. The ball now kicked down the road. Finance ministers ordered to try to come up with solutions. But it's the same arguments we heard 10 years ago, those richer countries not really wanting to have this corona bond situation, this mechanism, saying that they want to be sure that those countries that are in a fragile state, that it's not just an open checkbook, if you like, that there are systems in place to make sure that they were prepared for these kinds of crises. And that's really led to a lot of criticism of those countries, of Germany, the Netherlands and Austria. We've had the Spanish Prime Minister, for example, telling the European Union it really has to learn the lessons of the past, not to fail citizens again. And to use his words, he said the future of the European project is at stake. We choose between a coordinated and united European Union or individualism. We also have France supporting this, and the European Affairs Minister there today also saying that if Europe is just a single market when times are good, then really there is no sense to the European Union. So quite strong words, and the argument just absolutely raging tonight. And also at a time when all of these countries are really trying to get on top of this crisis. But as we know, we've seen in the US this very quick action in the end to have a bailout package, to have this economic remedy, and the European Union just not able to reach agreement. How many days, how many weeks is it going to be before we have some kind of deal?
Well, where are they at in managing the volume of borrowing that must be going on at the moment? Most countries I manage, many countries practicing quantitative easing, even our own. And, you know, you need several counterbalancing mechanisms to ensure that doesn't bring unintended consequences. Where are they at in managing the current financial pressures of virtual economic shutdowns in many countries? What is the plan?
Well, I think at the moment, a lot of countries are just making their decisions on their own. They're just spending, spend, spend, spend. And, you know, to its credit, the European Commission was very quick to loosen existing rules on each of those countries in terms of their finances. For example, normally within the European Union, there would be very strict rules on state aid going towards struggling sectors. And what we've seen over the last couple of days, over the last week, is Brussels saying to these countries, we're going to turn a blind eye. We're not going to enforce those rules. And we now have a lot of the individual countries promising individual sectors, those struggling sectors where we see enormous damage, they're promising money. We also know that the rule that the European Union normally adheres to, where governments have to keep their budget deficits below 3% of GDP, that rule's been lifted. So we know that's happened. We also know the European Central Bank, for example, has been talking about coming in and buying up some of the individual national bonds issued by the governments. Now, a lot of those bonds are not going to be interesting for most investors at the moment. Well, and perhaps, you know, they weren't even in the last few months, the last couple of years. But the European Central Bank taking that kind of action. But it's, you know, at the moment, it's very unclear what is happening on the ground. You know, a lot of countries have kept this under wraps. They say they're spending, they're increasing the debt. Who are they going to for cash? And this is where we have the critics of the European Commission, of the European Central Bank, saying that there has to be a broad strategy that unites everyone, where the rich countries are taking care of the poorer countries, that there really is this notion of solidarity.
Just finally, the search for a vaccine, and also perhaps as urgently and more immediately, the need for medical equipment. I'm not sure if you touched on this already, but again, is that a case where we're seeing cooperation or people working in their own interests?
Well, it's funny because we had the European Commission president. She came in for criticism this weekend because she publicly dismissed that corona bond idea as just a slogan. It's not up to her to decide on that, but she was slammed by the European Union countries. But she herself, this is Ursula von der Leyen, she's a German national. She also came out and slammed other European Union countries for, you know, looking towards protectionist measures. And what we talked about was that the blocking of borders within the bloc when the crisis broke out. But also, as you talked about there, we had the blocking of exports of medical equipment from some countries. For example, France and Germany imposed those restrictions when Italy, for example, was really calling out for equipment in terms of ventilators and masks. That issue now has been resolved. But von der Leyen really saying, you know, when Europe really needed to be there for each other, too many initially looked out for themselves, to use her words. So interesting now that the European Commission is also getting flack over the whole corona bond situation. But it's true to say the European Union has moved to coordinate some efforts. You talked there about the vaccine research that actually has been agreed on now. There's now 140 million euros going into research projects to try to speed up that search for a vaccine. And we also have this ban on the exports of protective medical equipment outside the European Union. And we're also having the bloc closing its external borders to make sure the internal ones can stay open.
Thank you, Seamus Kearney in Lyon.